בעזרת השם, we're dedicating the shiur לעילוי נשמת יעקב משה יוסף בן מנחם מנדל. We're in Torah Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Nathan is saying, ושמעתי בשמו, and I heard that he said, he heard that Rabbi Nathan said, that Rabbi Nachman said, שאמר, שבתורה הזאת, that in that Torah, כלולים הכוונות של לולב, written all of the spiritual intentions, כוונות, ייחודים, of the mitzvah of לולב. ולא זכיתי לשמוע באור העניין. But Rabbi Nathan is telling us that he didn't have the merit to hear that explanation of Rabbeinu, how in all of the Torah are written the kavanot of lulav. אך עיינתי ומצאתי קצת. But I looked, he's saying, Rabbi Nathan, and I found a little bit. כי עיקר הכוונות של לולב הוא, because the main kavanot of lulav is, להמשיך כל החסדים עד החזה, to pull all kinds kindness until the chest, להאירם אל המלכות, to illuminate them to the kingship, to the מלכות. וצריכים לנענע הנענועים, and you need to shake the lulav to move it, כדי להמשיך, so that you're going to pull, or משורש החסדים שבדעת, the light from the root of kindness that's in the wisdom, אל החסדים המתפשטים בגוף, to the kindness that are spreading in the body, להוסיף עליהם אור גדול משורשם שבדעת וכו', to add on them huge light that comes from the source of the light, from their source that's in the wisdom. עיין שם בפרי עץ חיים בשער הלולב. Go and look over there in the book of Rabbi Chaim Vital that calls Pri Etz Chaim, in the chapter, the gate, it's called Gate of Lulav. Alright, so you can go and look, come back, I'm going to wait for you, Bezrat Hashem, don't worry. We're going to still be here. וגם מבואר שם, and also it's explained over there, שהכוונה בעניין הכתוב זה דרך. Intention about what it's written, the meaning that a man should have in his mind about what it's written in the verse, Yomam Yetzaveh Hashem Chasdo, that Hashem is going to command his kindness daily, ולא אמר יום אלא יומם, and he haven't said day, just יומם. יומם means few days, all of the days, not individual, not one day, just plural days. שהוא הולך עם כולם עיין שם, that the kindness is going with everyone, with all of the days, with all of the days. וכל זה מבואר בתורה הנ"ל, and all of that is written in the Torah that we just learned, Torah למד גימל, על פי דרכו הנורא של רבנו, by the huge way, very high way of holy רבנו, זיכרונו לברכה. כי מבואר שם, because it's explained over there, שעל ידי כפיית היצר, that by forcing the יצר הרע, זוכה לגלות האהבה, amen, forcing the יצר, those are the נענועים, the נענועים of the לולב, and you can say that you can force it in one time, but in the לולב you're not doing it only once and this is it. The לולב, you're shaking it, the לולב, few times. The war of the Yetzara, it's like that. One day you're up, one day you're down. One day you're winning, one day you're losing. One day you're strong, one day you're weak. It's a war. Lulav, it's the letters of lo lev, that he's got the heart. The fight is that the man going to have a heart. No, if isha chasar lev, a man that have lust for women, he doesn't have a heart. And our lusts and desires are very deep. They're very stable inside of us. The war is huge, really, for a man to go out from his lust and desires. They're starting very deep in our childhood, in places that most of the people are not even remembering what happened over there at all. But it happened. But something happened over there, and you have patterns from those days. And you're not aware to yourself, and you don't feel. The Baal Shem Tov once when he was explaining about arrogant, he said tale, mashal, on a person that was driving a wagon, and he fell asleep. And while that he was asleep, the wagon driver, he went up a hill, and then he drove in another flat. And then the person that was driving, he woke up, and he thought that they're in the same flat, that they're in the same height. He said, this is arrogant. A man that is arrogant, he's not aware to the fact that he is arrogant. He's sure that he's humble. So the difficulty is that he doesn't know that he should work on himself. He's just justifying himself all of the time, and he feels good. He's sure that everyone is supposed to be like that, and everyone that is not like him is crazy for him. So he doesn't know how to work on himself. For that, you need to have a lot of prayers, a lot of merit that from heaven we're going to open our eyes to see where are we holding. And if a man doesn't want to see, no one's going to do you that favor to... Why? Why to do something like that? For you, it's just going to kill you if you're going to really know who you are and where you're holding. This is why we need to work on our will all of the time. To want, please Hashem, I want to do tshuva. It's written, Guf kashe pachad shovro. If a man got a strong body, stubborn body, that he's mamash, wrapped after lust and desires, and no words of Torah is helping, and no Hidbod Ediyot are helping. Pachad Shovro. Fear is breaking that body. Need to push you to a situation that you're going to be afraid, that you're going to be terrified, that you're not going to know what's going on with me, what's going to be with me. In Shalom Bayit, in Parnasa, someone threats your life. A situation that, what's going to be with the children, what's going to be with my Judaism? Suddenly, everyone are just... It breaks your body. Breaks your body means that your neshama is going to glow. Just need to accept those rebukes, those insultings, those fears, those anxieties as part of the process of the tshuva. To understand the tshuva, I once talked to Shuli Ran, the singer. He was a student of Rav Shalom, learned in the yeshiva a lot of years. He told me every time that a person is coming to me and talking to me about tshuva, that he wants to do tshuva, I'm telling him, stop. The tshuva of yours is going to be very hard. It's a long, long process and not an easy process. You're going to go through a lot of difficulties. It won't be easy at all. A lot of shames, a lot of humiliations, a lot of poverty, a lot of hard situations. And it's a point of truth. It's a point of truth. Like we're not accepting gerim in days of Mashiach. We're not accepting gerim and ba'alei tshuva in days of Mashiach. Why? Because when all of Am Yisrael is succeeding and they're all rich and healthy and making everything going well for them, so it's not a big deal to decide, all right, I want to join those group, that group. But when Am Yisrael being chased and they're running and they're afraid and they're sick and they're weak, and then you're choosing, I want to join them, this is your greatness. This is what it means, that really you want to join them. So it's the same for each and every one of us. From heaven, they're rejecting us from the success. And they let us see that our rabbis and the righteous people are going through so many difficulties. You can see what's going on. You can see in the last few years, and because we don't have a good memory and we haven't learned enough, so we forgot our past. But through all of the generations, the righteous people are dying and suffering, and dying in Kiddush Hashem, and had sufferings that we can ever imagine. And they're going through huge, huge difficulties. And by that suffering, they're opening the path for us. I asked Rav Shalom, told him in the book that called Sikh Sarfei Kodesh of Breslev, it's written over there stories of righteous people from Hasidei Breslev through the years that tens of them died on Kiddush Hashem in weird kind of death. And I asked Rav, why those? Why those righteous people? He told me everyone is equal to 60,000 other Jews. So what you prefer? What you rather? 60,000 people gonna die. Am Yisrael cannot deal with it. One righteous man died. All right, it's a shock. But Am Yisrael are continuing. When Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich passed away, Rabbi David Chaim Stern said that he went instead of 1 million Jews. And I heard Rabbi David Chaim Stern said that in Uma, that in that day, Kaf Zayin Becheshvan, 3 years ago, Be'elul, 3 years ago, in that day, 1 million Jews were supposed to die. And Rabbi Yehuda Ze'ev Leibovitz replaced them. So can you imagine to yourself if something like that would happen 3 years ago, 1 million people? Who can deal with that? How would Am Yisrael continue? They cannot continue. It was a crash. It was a Holocaust, a new one. Who can stand up back on his legs from that? No one. You have second generation of survivors. You have third generation trauma. You have fourth generation trauma. Even people like us that almost cannot feel the Holocaust, they're still in it's in the blood, it's in the bones. You're afraid. It's inside. It's a crazy trauma. Am Yisrael cannot deal with it. So the righteous people are accepting on themselves more sorrow and more pain. And now we lost one of the righteous people of Chassid Breslev, Rav Nachman Burstein. That who can imagine righteous people like those, huge tzaddikim, that for sure they're canceling decrees when they're going. Suddenly become to be sick, and he went to heaven. He just, the tzaddikim, they see it all. Rav Shalom said that he met Rav Ovadia Yosef before on his deathbed. He said Rav Ovadia was okay. He said he was okay, and suddenly he went. He said he accepted it on himself, and righteous people said that in the funeral also. He was good. He was all good. He was praying. He put filling. Everything was good, and he accepted it on himself. The righteous people, they see things. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender, and Rabbi Zeev Binyamin Cheshin, all three huge righteous people, Chassid de Breslev, all passed in 1 year. In the same year, they all died. All went to heaven in 1 year. We have to believe in the power of righteous people. We have to understand. And when we should remember that, when we have our success, when we're sitting in the yeshiva and learning, then we need to have our hakarat hatov, appreciation, to remember that we're learning by the merit of the tzaddikim. This is that power of itkashrut, to say I'm bonding myself to all of the righteous people, and by their merit, and to remember that we're working and succeeding and achieving only because of the merit of all of the generations, by the power of the blood, and by the power of the tears, and by the power of the effort on the mesirut nefesh, on limud haTorah, and by the mesirut nefesh on tefillah, and kiyat shema, on brit milah. All of those stories are walking in before of us, in front of us, opening the path for us. And we have to remember that. This is their will. All of the heroes of Am Yisrael, all of the souls. In Chorban Bet HaMikdash, 1 million Jews or so died. Been murdered, been slaughtered here in Jerusalem. 1 million people. We need to remember that by their merit, by their tefillot, we don't have no merits, none of us. We need to say thank you on every mitzvah that we're keeping. If you made something now, you gave money for tzedakah, it's your merit. Tzedakah tatzil mimavet. They're saving you by that merit. You're receiving more by that tzedakah that you're giving than that poor person that you gave to him. What you gave him? 1,000 shekels? Great, Baruch Hashem, you know what he gave you? He gave you your life. He gave you your life, he gave your wife more life, extend your life and your children's life. You don't know from which decree they saved you. It's written, Tzedakah tatzil mimavet, charity going to save from death. You gave charity, it saves you from death. There is no doubt about it. And you need to know it. You need to remember that. And you have to have that hakarat hatov to the one that you're giving to him. You need to thank him. You need to chase after the poor person. He doesn't need to chase after you. And it's like that in all of those, in all of the situations. Like always I'm trying to let you see, we're not talking on one issue. All of Avodat Hashem is one thing. It's written on Rabbi Preda that he had a student that couldn't learn, that he was teaching him everything 400 times until he would catch it. 400 times. One time, someone came to Rabbi Preda in the morning while he went to sit with that student and told him that he's got something, a wedding, or something that he had to go in the noontime. So he said, all right, and they kept on learning. After 400 times that he's sitting with that student and explaining to him, he asked him, you got it? So he told him, no, I'm sorry. So he told him why, but we learned 400 times, always you understand. So he said, I really apologize, I'm going to tell you the truth. From the moment that I heard that you're going early today, so I was so afraid that I was not going to complete the limud with you, so I thought you're going to run in the middle, that we were not going to complete, so I wasn't focusing, I couldn't learn. Rabbi Preda told him, we're going to start over from the beginning and learn with him another 400 times. After that he got it, after 800 times that limud that day, who can stand in that test? 800 times the same sugiya? Of course, we need to praise that student also that is sitting and learning and he wished to learn for 800 times. But Rabbi Preda, after that, he helped that student to understand. There was a bat call from heaven that asked Rabbi Preda, what you rather? Because we saw your dedication and how much that you gave, your patience, what you rather? Do you rather to live 400 years? Or that all of your generation gonna live in the world to come. Of course it shows that everyone gonna live in the world to come. They told him, because that you chose that, they gonna live, they all gonna have eternal life because of him. Mm. And you're gonna live 400 years. He achieved those two, both of the things. You see, by sitting and teaching and learning with someone, you're lengthening your life. You're helping yourself. Rabbi Yochanan said, even if you learned a lot of Torah, don't hold it like a good thing that you've done, because for that you've been created. To know that it's a merit to help someone, to support someone, to love someone, to sit with someone, to teach someone, it saves your life. Kol ha-ma'arich b'tfilato, ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnotav. Everyone that is lengthening his tfilot, they're lengthening his life and his years. Rav Shalom said, your obligation is to do, let's say, 1 hour is what they do today. If now you're doing 1 hour and 10 minutes, they're going to add you 10 minutes in the end of your life. If you're going to do 6 hours, they're going to give you another 5 hours in the end of your life. If to finish Shmona Esrei, it takes you 10 minutes. To say, right, nice Shmona Esrei. If today you're going to change and going to do 20 minutes of Shmona Esrei, on that other 10 minutes, you're going to receive another 10 minutes in the end of your life. How much are you going to pay for another 10 minutes in the end of your life? How much are you going to pay for another 1 hour? For another 6 hours? You're going to give everything. A man should understand that. Now you can get those 10 minutes. Now you can get those 1 hour, those 6 hours, those few days. 12 hours is what they do. 6 hours. Every half of a minute counts. Every second that you're putting, investing in Avodat Hashem counts. And you're just doing a favor to yourself, not to no one else. This is why I told you in the time that I came to Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed, first I think they told me, you can learn here, you're more than welcome. But money, sorry, cannot pay you. There's no money. You can sit and learn. A man should decide for his own sake, what do I want to achieve in my life? Do you want to learn Torah? So sit and learn Torah. You're not doing no favor to no one. You want to pray? Go and pray. You're not saving our lives with your tefillot. Hopefully you're going to save your own life. And not because that you're righteous, just because it's Hashem, with his one eye of rachamim, of mercy, going to see you in a positive way. Going to love you, going to like you, going to have mercy, more mercy on you, going to lengthen your life, going to help you, going to support you, going to build you. Everything that a man is doing to himself. He's building for himself. It's explained over there that by forcing Yetzara, a man got the merit to achieve the love, to reveal the love. That is the kindness through Chesed, through Yom HaDa'azelim Kulo Yomin, that is kindness that walks with all of the days. Da'ainu She'ahava means that the love, Shu'a Chesed, that is the kindness, Melubash Bechol Amidot Bechule, is dressed in all of the attributes, in all of the measurements, means that that man can have that simple faith that we're talking about all of the time, to see that it's all Hashem, there is no people at all. There is no people. They do not exist. It's an illusion.
Hashem is chasing you, Hashem is calling you, Hashem is threatening you, Hashem is talking to you. Hashem is also in the best side. Hashem is giving you compliments. Hashem likes you. Hashem hugs you. Hashem kisses you. Hashem everything. It's all Hashem. And for the man, it's so hard to grab it. The man is so stuck in such low places. That we're talking and talking like the water of Rabbi Akiva. Hopefully, one day, I'm going to make a crack in that stone heart. One day, I'm going to break. I'm going to hear a huge crack. This is it. Suddenly, you're going to cry so much to Hashem Yitbarach. Rav Shalom said that all of the tests that we have in the tshuva, it's only to prepare us to the big test. And for every Baal tshuva, they're going to be a huge test, a very hard test. And they're testing you until they see that you're qualified to stand in that test. All of the difficulties and all the sadnesses and all of those downs that we have in our life, it's just to check if we're strengthening ourselves with happiness or if we're giving up again and again and again. If you give up again, if you fell to sadness, to anger, to frustration, they're going to test you again. Means you welcomed another difficulty into your life. This is what actually that you've done. If you fell to sadness, to anger, to frustration, to stress, you just invited another test. Great, wonderful, Baruch Hashem. You're lucky, you have another test. They haven't given up on you. Wonderful. And then, if you're going to stand in those tests and you're going to see this is it, he's doing it, Rav Shalom said, and it's frightening, but it's the truth. He said, they're going to crush you. Something really, really strong going to happen in your life. And they're going to crush you, but you're going to stand in that test. And after it, you're going to be clean. They're cleaning you, finally, in one shot, in one time. This is it. A real break, a real crisis, a real hard situation, that you're going to stand in that situation. While you're falling, it means that you're not even close to your tikkun. While you're falling to your sadness and stress and frustration, complaints and fears and ishtadluyot, you're not in the field yet. It's not the right place. You're with the weak people. You're behind. You're outside of the camp. When you're standing in those tests and you're not being insulted and you're not being aggressive and hurt and angry and attacking and revenging and all of those imaginations that comes from contamination, comes from tuma, when you're good and you're kind, then they're going to crush you real strong, real strong, and by that going to purify you, and after it you're not going to suffer anymore. You're going to be, how you say, mechusan,
vaccinated,
immunized. This is it. It will not going to bother you. You're going to see that it's all Hashem. You're going to see. You will not going to have no doubt about it anymore. It's all Hashem. Am Yisrael, why in the first salvation, the Geulah, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to take all of Am Yisrael, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, to build Beit HaMikdash, and this is it. That was supposed to be the story. But Am Yisrael, they didn't have enough vessels, enough tefillot. They were whining. All of the time they were rejecting the suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them. They had to go 3 days with suffering and to enter to Eretz Israel. But they didn't accept it. And they were whining and complaining and arguing and blaming Moshe. Alright, you don't want 3 days. Hey, journey of 40 years in circles in the same small desert of Sinai. It's a very small area. Going in circles for 40 years until everyone gonna die. Everyone died. Alright. You don't want to accept the small suffering, you're gonna accept the larger suffering. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He cares about you. And He doesn't want to see you going far away from Him and disappearing from Kedusha. So He have to break you. Like we said, it's all because of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I love you, this is why I'm bringing all of punishments on all of your sins and avonot. This is why I'm bringing all of those judgments on you. Because I love you. When you love someone, you're not moving your eyes from him. You're looking at him. Eretz Asher Ani Hashem Elokecha Ba. That Hashem is observing and looking. And Rav Berland once answered, he said, why in Jerusalem there are always judgments? Because you're under the throne of honor. You're under Kisa Kavod. Jerusalem is under Kisa Kavod. If you're stealing now an apple in the market, alright, so you're a thief. But if you're stealing an apple from the plate of the king, in front of the kings and all of the ministers and all of the guards, it's going to be totally different. When you're sinning in Jerusalem, it's a different story. It's a different story. This is what it's written in the Gemara. In one place it's written, "Le'olam yadur adam bimkom rabo." A man should live close to his rabbi. In a different place in the Gemara it's written, "Le'olam al yadur adam bimkom rabo." You're not allowed to live close to your rabbi. The Gemara is asking, how can it be? One time it's good to be close to a rab. One time it's better not to. So the Gemara is answering, "Hade kaifle, hade lo kaifle." When you're kafuf, bent, you're saying, to your rabbi, it's good to live close to him. Then it's good for you. But if you're not listening to him, so it's better for you to be far away. Very far, as far as you can. As far as you can. No judgments. If you have something so good, that you can do tshuva, that you can see that you cannot compare nothing to that. You cannot compare. What can life suggest you? What can life suggest you? Rav Shalom said, when rich and successful people see my smile, they realize that they are in depression, that they never smiled in their life. Never smiled. You see the joy, the happiness that that huge man's got on his face. You understand that you're stuck in depression. No matter how happy you came to the yeshiva, you feel your body, you feel that you're a snake compared to him. You look at him and you... You feel your eyes, the kaskasim, the scales. You feel them. You can feel your body. You can feel that he's so holy. Like I told you once, I came to him a few weeks ago. I wanted to tell him, Rav, can I learn with you again? I told him, Rav, can you help me to do tshuva? Those are the words that came out from my mouth. I wanted to tell him huge things. I had my ideas. I came to him, couldn't open my mouth. Hey, Rav, can you help me to do tshuva? You can feel that you're dumb. What? You can feel it. You have all of the imaginations before. That you're succeeding, that you're building, that you're doing, that you're achieving, that you're learning, that you're praying. When you see him, you see that you're full with lackings. He's a pure mirror. He's a clear mirror that reveals to you where you're holding in Avodat Hashem. He purified the rabbis, the really righteous people. They cleaned themselves so much that they become to be mamash shining like a silver mirror plate that you can see yourself reflect in their face. And if you take in that insulting, if you take that and you're humiliating yourself, you go down with that to the place of that rebuke and you drink tshuva on that, then Arav is rising you to his place. Like that Rabbeinu is bringing Sipurei Maasiyot, that the man of the forest, he took them beyond the place. A man that is beyond time, a man that is beyond the place, he can take you to that place immediately. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu made to all of Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had that power to take all of Am Yisrael that were stuck in 49 gates of contamination and to bring them to see Hashem face to face and to accept the Torah and to cancel from them the contamination of the snake and to receive the Torah. It's something that... But for that, he had to humiliate them first, to bring them Tachtit Ahar, to the lowest place of that mountain that caused hirurim, bad thoughts. To let them feel that they're so contaminated, that they're so far, that they don't have no faith, that nothing is going on in their lives. All of that shame that we feel, it causes humility. The man is struggling, he's fighting, no, I don't want to accept it. If you're just going to accept it, you're going to be humble. That's what it means to be humble. That you accept your lackings, that you can live with that, that you're the worst one, that you accept it. I have that yetzarah, and I cannot conquer it. If Hashem will not gonna help me, this is it. And this is the end, this is the conclusion. If you have that, this is it. You're just praying and praying and learning and praying and begging, and you don't even have time to sin anymore. You're just so busy in your tshuva that you're not looking on people anymore. What he's doing, what they're thinking, what they're telling, what they're talking, what they're doing, what they're achieving. I know that I'm a sinner and I have to do tshuva on all of my things. and I know that I'm falling, that I have that problem and that problem, and on that I have to dedicate half an hour minimum every day, and on that I have also to pray every day, and I have my lists and I'm looking at them in my Bodhiduyot, and I'm doing tshuva and I'm praying and I'm begging and I'm trying to humiliate myself and to close my mouth and not to answer to everyone that have something to say, just I'm listening. Hashem, what are you saying? Hashem, what are you telling me? I have my problems. Thank you, Hashem, for telling me, for talking to me about it. How many people are running and chasing after their own hell, after their own prison of lust and desires, and they're not even aware to where they're taking themselves into. To more troubles, to more suffering, to more lackings, to more deaths, to more suffering, to more distance far away from Hashem. And they're doing it with lust and desire, with great satisfaction. They're running fast, driving fast into a brick of wall of cement. They're committing suicide, eternal suicide. They're cutting themselves from the world to come for eternal life. How man can stand if he's still a sinner in the world to come, to see the face of Hashem, that is all pure, that is all good? The shame, the disgrace. Like Rabbeinu said, the people that had lust and desires, they're going to bury themselves, going to dig for grace, but to bury themselves alive, going to tear their face because of the shame when Mashiach is going to come. So for us, that we have that merit of it, that we can do tshuva, and tshuva is erasing everything. And you see, everyone can see that we're so into our avonot, we don't even pay attention. So for sure that we have to do daily tshuva. Even if you finished all of your tshuva on your past, you're still falling every day. And even when you're going to complete that, who knows? If Rabbi Yochanan on his deathbed, he was crying, and he didn't know where Hashem is taking him, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to go to hell, and he was crying on that. So how can we be so sure? Rabbeinu said he's going to take you out from hell, like I told you, but he never said when. You don't know how much time you're going to spend in hell before Rabbeinu is going to come and take you out. It can take you, and Korach is 2,000 years and more, 3,000 years in hell. 3,000 years. I don't remember who was that righteous man. You told me that Ichi that said, Korach, Keni HaKadosh, Korach, the Magid Mezrich. He said, Keni, my grandfather, the holy Korach. He was holy. In the future to come, Korach is going to be the Kohen Gadol that's going to stand close to Moshe. The Magid Mezrich said that it will not going to be Aaron. It's going to be Korach stand close to Moshe. We don't know who is Korach. Kol HaGadol miChaveru Yitzro Gadol miMeno. If you have such a huge Yetzirah, it means that you're greater, that you're huger. Korach was huge. This is why Yetzirah was fighting on him and took him. And took him with all of his family, with all of his properties. Ichi told me that it's written in the Gemara on Korach that he had 800. We're saying that the man is going to be rich like Korach. Korach had 850 donkeys that were carrying the keys to his treasures. Not the treasures on 850 donkeys, only the keys for the boxes were on 850 donkeys. That huge Korach was so huge. And it all was in Kedusha. It was all money that he received in Kedusha from Hashem Yitbarach. He was worthy. He was huge. And he fell so low. So us, what can we say on ourselves? Only to cry to Hashem, help me to do tshuva. Only to beg to Hashem, please help me to do tshuva. And if you can take it to actions also, all of those classes, it's going to be very nice. try that, please. Take those words to the field. Take them, write it down, record. I have only 3 recording devices here. I don't know why we don't have 10. Everyone, please, try that at home. Please, try that at home. Do that. Go to the field and talk. And even if you are not going to find the right words in the beginning, to achieve everything in life, you need practice. No one borns Moshe Rabbeinu. No one. Also Moshe Rabbeinu, he had so much effort. 80 years he was suffering until that he had that prophecy when Hashem revealed Himself in the burning bush. 80, he was 80. 60 years he was alone in the desert doing it, but the dude screaming and begging on Am Yisrael to be saved, to start to pray, to start to believe in Hashem, to go back to faith. 60 years alone in the desert. After that, he was so righteous before in Egypt that he was helping everyone and he was so kind. And he was the worthy savior for all of Am Yisrael. And it took him 80 years. And you want to achieve, when you came from such a filthy place as the Baal Tshuva, you want to achieve things now. Why I don't see angels? Why I don't have the divine spirit? Why I cannot hear the thoughts of other people? Why Hashem is not answering to my prayers? I told you that once. If Hashem would listen to every word of yours, you will never going to have no neighbors. You will never going to have no friends. You kill them all, right? You kill them all with all of your Lashon Hara and your thoughts, with all of the cursing and cursings, with all of horrible prayers that you have. Baruch Hashem that Hashem is not taking all of your words. If you will take all of your words, you yourself will, you're not going to stay. You're going to kill yourself. First one that you're going to kill, maybe it's going to be yourself. Baruch Hashem, that Hashem is, so to speak, no, not listening. Baruch Hashem, that he's ignoring. He knows best, he knows why. If he's going to listen to you, I bet what's going to be. Everyone in the same condition, same swamp. Don't need to go to India to drown over there. You can drown here.
Umvar sham, and it's explained over there. Sheyesh ahava shebedad, that there is love that's in wisdom. Shei lemala mehazman veamidot, that it's beyond time and attributes and measurements. And by that the man is connecting his heart to his wisdom. Shelibo birshuto means that his heart is under his control. Means that he is doing long it bodeduyot. That he brings himself to control on his actions. Because a man that just goes from one issue to the other is like an animal. That now he's hungry and he's going. And now he's tired and he needs to sleep. And now something, another last, and he's going. Doesn't have yeshuva dat. The difference between an animal to a human being, it's power of speech. It's koch hadibur. What's koch hadibur? Koch hadibur, it's only, Likutei Halachot Rabbi Natan is writing, that power of speech, it's only when a man is talking to the Creator. And Rabbi Natan in Likutei Halachot is saying that when a man is talking even to other people, if it's not words of Torah or words of Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like tweetings of birds. Tziftzufei Ha'ofot. You're not talking. You're talking to your imaginary world. If you're answering your wife, if you're talking to that police officer, if you're apologizing, no, no, mister, I'm sorry. You live in a dream. It's not real. It's not life. Life is Hashem, source of life. Real righteous people are talking only to Hashem. They see Hashem. I read in one of the Sifrei Chassidut that one of the intentions, the kavanot that a man should walk with is that when he see a figure of a man, he should see he should see Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of his eyes. You see a male, you should see Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when you see a female, a woman, you should see Adni, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the name that Hashem been written in. The name Adni. This is what you should see. This is what real righteous people, they see. They look at you, they say, alright Hashem, what are you saying Hashem? When you're talking to Arav, Arav is talking to Hashem through you. Arav see Hashem. And he's always helping, and he's always coming, and he's always doing what that he should do for Hashem. Helping Hashem. Hashem is in exile, the Shekhinah is in Galut. You see a man, it's part of Hashem. You see a woman, it's part of the Shekhinah. It's not your imaginations, lusts and desires. One time you want money, so he's rich. One time you have another lust and desire, so she's beautiful. One time you need something else, honor, success, I don't know what, so he's successful, so you want to reach him. It's all you. It's all your curtains. It's all your husks and desires.
But when you're breaking that and you're working on the main thing that causes faith, that there is nothing in the world except of the Creator, finally you see only Hashem, and then you're always happy and you're always helping everyone and you're supporting everyone and you don't care about nothing and you have enough to give because nothing belongs to you. And you can give millions of dollars and you don't care, and you just give and you give and you receive. And it doesn't have no problems to dedicate hours on teaching someone. It doesn't hurt your sdarim. Because you're not doing nothing for yourself, so it doesn't hurt you. Because you're not there at all. And you're here to give, and you have such satisfaction from giving and from helping that you feel that you're fulfilling your job. And Baruch Hashem, I'm completing my task in life. I'm doing what it I should do. I'm a male, I'm giving, I'm supporting, I care, I love, I give. I'm part of Hashem. Hashem is finishing through me. Rabbeinu is finishing through me. This is the biggest gift of them all, that the man becomes to be a mashpia, that he is influencing, that he is helping others. This is the biggest gift of them all. What's going to be?
Azai, so then... מקבלין המידות אור האהבה שבדעת וכולי כנר. So then all of his attributes receives the light of love that's in the wisdom that's beyond time, like we learned. Thank you very much.